I think it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago now. On a Sunday night, Brother Casey Cole came and preached for us. He preached on the stumbling block. And I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure he read out of Isaiah 57 and for his reading lesson. And we don't want to preach on what he preached on, but this week I got a thought upon me, and I've used these scriptures before, but I can't remember when, but I have. But y'all just pray for us, and let's just see what the Lord wants. We need a revival. I done mentioned that, and I pray that we be revived as God's people, and I pray lost souls will be saved, and they'll be revived. Revived is being brought back to life, and when you become lost, you become separated from God, and to God, you're dead. You're dead in your sins. The Bible says he who have quickened who was dead over in Ephesians chapter 2. So he makes us alive. So I think the church also at times needs to be made alive. Not that we're dead, but I'll say this. You can get to the point that you're not where you need to be. And our churches for a while now have not exactly been where we need to be. So pray for us. Once again, Casey preached on removing the stumbling block. And I thought about that night. They was committing idolatry here. You can go back. I believe it's in the 5th verse. You'll find that in this 57th chapter. They were serving idols. And we still serve idols today. But removing stumbling blocks, to me, a whole lot of the day our problem is and being a stumbling block. A whole lot when it comes to our people is pride. I'm just being honest with you. And pride has really got us in a bad, bad shape. I'm thankful to be a member of the Lord's church. I'm thankful to be a Baptist. I don't like using the word pride. A lot of times we throw that out there so much that how proud we are. And pride coming forward, the destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And pride is killing us. But please pray for us. And then the 14th verse, and they shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of the people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always wrath, for the spirit should fall before me and the souls of which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went forwardly in the way of the heart. And I have seen his ways and will heal him. And I will lead him also and restore the comforts unto him and to his mourners. And that's where our thought's going to be, restore the comfort unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of his lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when he cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And with the many mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 21st verse, and it says, I have seen his ways and will heal him, and I will lead him also and restore the comforts unto him and to his mourners. And I, I want you to know something today. We need to be restored. We need to be revived. I know the Bible says he saveth such with a broken heart, or he's nigh unto those with a broken heart, and saveth such with a contrite spirit. But here he said that he revives those with a broken heart or contrite heart, and revives those with a contrite spirit. And I believe in all my heart, if we're going to have revival, if we're ever going to have true revival here at Hilltop, if we're ever going to have true revival again in Macon County, if America will ever have true revival again, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to realize we can't do this on our own. We're going to have to get off our high horse, so to speak, and humble ourselves and realize how much we need God. Pride is killing us. I want you to know today, hell is full of people with pride. And I want you to know, in our missionary Baptist churches, you may not want to hear this, our pulpits are full of pride. Our churches are full of pride. And because of that, honey, we are not comforted today. And our moaners are not being comforted. And they are not being saved. It says over there, I will restore the comfort unto him and also unto his moaners. This is what we call a moaner beach. There's a reason our lost people are not getting saved today. And that reason is because we're so full of pride that they can't even humble themselves. And this is killing us. You may not like hearing this today, but honey, it needs to be preached. We need to put away pride and start humbling ourselves. That is what's killing us today. Over James, he said over there, and he made it clear over there when he said it. He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He resisteth the pride. And I want you to know today, if you're full of pride because you're a Baptist, honey, you're part of the problem. Nobody today ever wants to admit they're wrong about anything. Nobody today. And we're so full of pride, we can't let go. This morning, Brother Larry was teaching on a subject I absolutely love. And there at the end, he got to some scriptures I absolutely cannot handle. And I had to be honest in that. I had to say, I do not understand that part of it. Listen to me today. If we had get to a point that we'd also be able to say, I can be wrong. Amen. We need God. And because we've got so full of pride. Honey, listen to me. I love the church. I love this way. But you know what you can do? You can make an idol out of the church. You sure can. She represents Christ, but she ain't Christ. And listen to me. The Lord comes first. He is the head of her, and he comes first in everything. If we have any power or any way of doing anything, I want you to know authority, it comes from him. Amen. He said he giveth grace. Honey, we're saved by grace. It's unmerited favor. He giveth grace to those that are humble. Honey, if you'll humble yourself, it goes on and says, he will lift you up. There was two went up to the temple to pray. One of them went up there and told God how good he was. And honey, that man was brought down. But there was another, wouldn't even lift up from his bones upon his breast, wouldn't even lift his head up. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, that man went home justified rather than the other. We need to realize how much we need God. I need to be more humble.
You need to be more humble. God's people need to be more humble. They need, our lost children need to say something about us. He revives those with a contrite heart. He revives those with a contrite spirit. He will bring us back to life. But we've got to realize how much we need him. Amen. The Bible, we read these scriptures a whole lot. When it comes revival time, the 126th division of the Psalms, he said, listen, that they that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. What this is saying here, when we preach, when you sow what I'm doing, is trying my best to sow the word of God. All I can do is broadcast it. I just throw it out there, but what it, we will sow in tears. It takes some water. When I planted my garden back in the spring, it rained and rained and rained, and you couldn't get a chance to work your ground. Finally, it dried up. And when it finally dried up, you know what I ended up having to do? When I planted my watermelons, I had to water them. Oh, to where they germinate, the seeds, the ground that done got to dry. It takes some water. You know where the water, the tears. We're to sow in humility. We're to be humble. And when we do that, what it says he would restore unto our mourners. Honey, you will be able to bring your sheaves in with joy. You'll have a bountiful crop when you sow in tears. But when you sow in pride, he said he resisteth that. He ain't going to have no part of it. He said, we set the ones that are a contrite spirit and a humbled heart set with him. In those holy places. Have you ever truly got to sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ? Have you ever really got to do that? I've got to do it a few times. And you know every time that's happened, it's never been when we get full of pride. It's never been when we're thinking we're on top. You know why we had a revival a couple of years ago, that revival? Because we'd been through so much. We'd lost so much. We finally got down to a place we didn't have nowhere else to go. Don't you reckon that's what happened to the prodigal son? When he got down to a place, he didn't have no place to go. And then he said, he come to himself and he realized in his father's house, the servants had it better than him. When he come to himself and he realized how much he needed the father. When it come to ourselves, when we come to ourselves and realize how much we need God, honey, he will be there. Because when you get to that point, you're in a place that you're so low. It said that he desired to eat the husk. They fed the hogs, but it said no man helped him. We talked about when he gets to eat, he eat with the hogs. He didn't eat even with them. It said no man helped him. There was no help from him except the Father. And when he come to the Father met him, ran to him, and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And he said, this is my son who was dead, who was lost, and is alive again. Revived, quickened, made alive.
when we get to the place we ain't got nowhere else to go. That's where we was a couple years ago. I've seen some people come here in the last couple weeks. Broken! Broken! Nowhere else to go but God. Nowhere else to turn. Seem like the whole world, nobody to help them. My honey, my God, help you. When you humble yourself and put away pride and say, I won't do that, God. I ain't going to do this, God. Honey, that's pride. But honey, he's got a way of bringing you to a point, just like he did the prodigal son, that you'll be glad to do what he'd have you to do. I know. Full of pride. Couldn't read. You say, how can a man can't read be full of pride? I was. God called me to preach, and I wasn't named to preach. Couldn't read. How can a man preach the Word of God if he can't read it? Still can't read. Y'all heard me. Still can't read too good, can I? But he's helped me. I couldn't read. And because I was going to have to admit, I was going to have to stand in front of everybody. I'd go places I wouldn't even write a check. I'd have people fill out the checks for me, and I'd try to sign my name, do the best I could. So full of pride, I didn't want to admit that I couldn't do it. Went for 8 years. Stood in a window, watched my sister, my baby sister I love, die with cancer. Watching through the window, not willing to do what God had called me to do. He has a way of humbling us. You can humble yourself, or you can wait to be humbled. Either way you want to do it, church. Honey, we're going to have to be humble. Amen. Full of pride, didn't want to admit it. Marty, he come over there. Me and him had always been friends. We started hanging out together. We was talking again. And we was buddying up again. We was in our early 20s. And He went to talk about it because I couldn't read. He was going to help me. He come over there and he come to my house and my kids were just little bitty and they could already read better than me. And he was trying to help me. He was trying to teach me how to read. He was using these little Jack and Jill books, and that's how we was going about it. And I was so ashamed. I just said, I can't do this. I can't do it. Yes, I want to quit. And he said, well, if you ever call to preach, I said, that ain't going to happen. Full of pride. Guess what? About 2 or 3 years later, sitting right in there, Rocky Mountain Church, cold and indifferent, couldn't feel nothing because too full of pride. Finally said, God, if you'll give me something to do, I'll do it. And he said, preach my word. Got up, walked out, wouldn't do it, full of pride. It's hard to stand up when you're 60-year-old and tell a bunch of people you can't read. I still can't read good. I spend as much time going over my reading lessons as I do what I'm going to preach. And y'all get frustrated with me because I can't read. I know you do, but I can't help it. But I am man enough to stand in front of you today and say I ain't got so much pride I can admit to it. When are we as God's people going to stand up and admit our children are dying and going to hell because we're so full of pride that we won't have nothing to do with one another? We can't admit we're wrong about anything. And we're losing them. Why? Because of the world? Partially. But mostly because of us. He dwells with those in high places that are of a contrite spirit. He revives those with a contrite spirit. Are you getting this? Do you want to be revived? You want to be made alive again? You want to just beat the house shake every time? It's been good lately. It has. But honey, it ain't where it needs to be. When we're where we need to be, lost people won't be able to stand it. That's the way it used to be. Used to, you give them an owner's call. They say, give an altar call. Honey, used to, you give an altar call. Lost people either went to the altar or they went out the door. They could not stand to be in the presence of a God. Not in the condition they in. You see any of that happening anymore? I ain't standing up here saying I'm holier than you. I'm standing up here in front of you saying I've been wrong. I've been full of pride. Still I am. But I'm sick of it. I'm sick of what it's doing to me. I'm sick of what it's doing to God's people. And I'm tired of watching lost people walk out that door still lost. Her motor's bitch empty. He restored the comfort to you and to the martyrs. Put away your pride. Let go of it. Sow in tears and reap in joy. Because when you humble yourself, he'll lift you up. You think God is so full of pride that he wants us to just look at him, how humble he is. He ain't got one drop of pride about him. He wants to lift you up. He loves you. He loves you, Hilltop Church. He wants to raise you up. Lost friend, he loves you. Amen. He gave his son for you that he can lift you up. You want to remove the stumbling blocks? Remove yourself. And you say, what do you mean by that? Take yourself out of it and put God in it. When our churches come together and we begin to love one another like he's told us to love one another, when our community comes together, when our nation's not so divided that we hate one another, that it's this way or that way, when we see once again how much we need God and how little we need of ourselves, then we will be revived. David said, you know what David said in that restore? What did he say in the 51st division of the Psalms? If you'll remember, he said once, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We quote that all the time when it comes to, he didn't lose his salvation. No, he didn't. He sure didn't. I don't think we've lost the candlestick yet. But if we want to restore the comfort that comes from him, we want to restore the mourners seeking the Lord again and being restored, maybe we need to be like David and humble ourselves. And realize that we've been wrong about some stuff. And I ain't saying Hilltop Church is wrong about anything. I ain't saying Lafayette's wrong. What I'm saying is what we're wrong about is pride. Amen. And each church has got some of it. You can admit it or not, then that's your problem. If you don't want to admit it, it'll never get better.
A drunkard has to realize they're a drunkard before they can get better. Yeah. If you're ever going to get off drugs, you're going to have to realize you're a drug addict or you'll never get better. And I want you to know, if you're just like some of the rest of us, full of pride, the only way you'll ever get better is realize it. And realize how much we need God. You want to be healed? Me was standing looking through a window. She'd got down to the point she couldn't breathe. My mama sitting in there beside her. A 38-year-old girl. You could say it's a woman. In my opinion, she was still just a kid. I go out, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. We're going to watch this. I get outside and he says, you go look through that window. You watch. I went over there and I looked through that glass and I watched her go, Brock! Brock! When are we going to watch her take her last breath? The old church, when are we going to look and watch her take her last breath? God, we're so full of pride! Pride! It's killing her. Pride is killing us. I love you. If I didn't, I wouldn't have got up here and done this. I want us to have revival. I'm tired of leaving here and watching lost people walk out that door. Not concerned about their sale. You know what else I'm tired of? I'm tired of us leaving here, walking out that door, and not concerned about them. You can take and use it, and it can help us. Or we can take and ignore this, and we can have another meeting, but not be revived. And it ain't because I'm done, but it is a message from God. And I still believe he gives messages to his men to preach that we might be a help to his people. I stand in front of you today. I don't have a whole lot. I ain't trying to brag about that. Sometimes I think we brag about being poor. I don't have a whole lot. Peter come to the gate, which was called Beautiful. There was one laying there banging arms. Peter said, silver and gold have I not. But what I have, I freely give you. He told him about Jesus. Amen. We may not have everything in the world. We don't need everything in the world. But what we've got, please don't let pride. Let's hold on to pride such a way that we don't give it to them. He that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Bring it home to sheaves. You want your motor bench to fill up and then empty. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. That's your thought. You got a song. We'll have a song.